The Beatles and Can't Buy Me Love. But what will we be buying in the next few years? We all have to shop, whether you like it or not. We live in this consumer society. It's, you know, groceries or home appliances, the clothes on our back, entertainment or a place to live. But the way we shop is changing. Gone are the days when shop assistants could sweet talk us into buying the most expensive toaster on the shelf because we didn't know better. With the internet and smartphones at our fingertips, customers will not be fooled into buying overpriced items by staff working on commission. So how is the retail industry coping with all of this? We'll have a business futurist in just a moment to tell you everything about it. On ABC Local Radio, you are with Rod Quinn. Morris Misolowski is a retail futurist. That must be a fascinating job, especially at this time when everything seems to be changing. Morris, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure and a good morning to you, Rod, and the listeners.
Morris, let's start with whether the tail is wagging the dog. We hear so much at the moment about e-tail, about internet shopping, and yet it's only, what, round about 1, 2, 3% of what we spend. Is that a lot? How much is it growing?
Look, I don't think it is that much. You're right. We're hearing a lot about it, and I think that we're overemphasising what it actually is. It is, as you've said, around 3% going up to 4% of the total retail spend in Australia. I think that we're talking too much about it at the moment because we have a perfect storm, as I call it. We've gone through that horrible time at the GFC when people didn't have a lot of money, so people got a bit more savvy about wanting to shop and about being more careful about their dollars, as we should be, but we're particularly over the last few years. We've also had the Australian dollar come up to parity, so the Australian dollar is worth a lot compared to overseas, and we've had our internet beef itself up with a lot more possibilities. So those three things have collided to give us the possibility to be able to look online and to want to look online. And for many, many people, it's a new phenomenon. So it's one of those new toys that we play with. And it's one of those things we talk a lot about, when actually, as you said, only accounts for a very small part of retail.
But is it growing steadily? Is it growing quickly? I mean, if we look ahead maybe 5 years, is it going to be up to 5, 6, 10%?
I think we're definitely going to get up to the 5s and the 6s. We're talking about at the moment it being somewhere around a $12 billion industry in Australia. Yeah, so that's roughly where it is at the moment. And we're talking about 2 years from now it being somewhere up around the $16 billion.
So that's of the entire retail industry,
yes.
It's only going to be about $12 to $16
billion. About that. So we're going to be, it looks like we're going to be under 10% the whole way through. We're definitely only going to, according to these figures, we'll definitely be only up around the 7s and 8% at the very, very most.
Okay, are some businesses closing their retail outlets and going only e-tail?
There are examples of people that are doing that. It's not something I'd recommend to many of my clients, but there definitely are some people that think the grass is greener over the other side. And for some business models, it may make sense. But there are only some things that we want to buy online. It makes sense for us to buy consumer goods online, perhaps to buy groceries and to buy some basic things, electronics and things that we're very happy with. But when it comes to trying on clothes, when it comes to buying refrigerators, when it comes to buying big ticket items and brown goods as well, so furniture and things, I think there's always going to be a place for the bricks and mortar retail, the shops that we walk into.
But isn't it the case, or maybe it's not the case, but I mean, we were seeing these ads around about Christmas time for eBay, they were saying, you know, go into the shop, find out what you want, and then buy it online.
And there absolutely is that. And we do have this new world. One of the issues we've got at the moment is we are walking through the time of an evolution. We are absolutely changing the way that we shop. And a lot of our research, a lot of our thinking is now online. Where you and I might have done a lot of footwork, we might have actually gone into stores and we spent hours or days researching a fridge or researching a piece of furniture or some clothing. We can now jump online and within a few minutes get a really good assessment or an idea for what that product is and then go shopping online some more for some pricing. And this is where it starts to lead. So it's not about online just being about the purchase decision. It's really about online being available to do all of that research thinking and decision making.
Are people sick of shopping in an actual store? Because It seems over the last 20 years or so, recreational shopping has become so more important. The way that shopping malls are designed, the way that stores are designed to make that shopping experience more pleasurable, so that, because people don't have a lot of time. You know, if they've got to do their groceries, yeah, they wanted to enjoy it, don't they? So are people actually sick of that, or do they still like that kind of recreational shopping?
It's a great point, Rod. The answer for me is that retail to succeed has to be a theatre. It really has to give us something beyond the end purchase. Because you and I, thankfully, live in a country where we can get the same thing in a myriad of ways from a myriad of different shops. So retail really has to be about giving people something beyond. When we look at the shopping centres, we're also looking, as you've said, for them to build that shopping centre so that it becomes a day experience, so that we can do a bit of shopping, we can go to the cinema, we can meet some friends for coffee or a meal, and that's where they're building their premises, so it captures us for a long period of time. So the whole experience is the issue that I find that many retailers are forgetting, that it is the experience that people want, and you really can't get away now with providing bad service or bad quality or bad merchandising.
But people still hate having to find that car parking space, having to battle the crowd, having to go around and look, you know. I can understand why people are more interested perhaps in doing it online. Is there any part of that experience that's improving? The parking, I mean, actually, the more I think about it, the more many of those car parks now have those red and green lights that help you find a parking space. I suppose that's one way that one of the nasty negative parts about going to a shopping mall has been improved.
Yeah, and we're definitely seeing that. There's some great new technologies in car parking. There are the red and the green lights. There are also the sensors that are built into each of the car spots, which tells you when they're available or mm-hmm. when someone's on it or not,
yes.
and the signage that people provide to be able to get to it. So in the newer builds of the shopping centres, you'll actually see signs that says, you know, a spot's available three rows down to the left
right.
and guide you towards it. So we actually don't have to stand in that queue honking and looking at people and hoping that, you know, that person's not going to jump in front of us and park their car. That side of it, I think, is getting a bit better as well. But we need to get a bit more innovative too with our shopping, but this is beyond retail. And we also need to think about the way we're going to shopping centres. We need better public transport that takes us into it as well. So there's another argument that we need to look at as well.
Okay, because it's the way that the price of petrol, that's one thing we can't buy online. We still have to go to the petrol station to get it. It is going up. It's expected to go up significantly in the next couple of weeks. That is it the possibility that more people are going to shop from home because they simply can't afford to go out?
I think more people are going to shop at home for the routine purchases that they buy. Now, for the milks, the breads, we've seen some great examples over the last couple of years where traditional
yes, things
home
have come back.
Are coming back in vogue.
Yeah.
That you're getting your fruit, your vegetables, your milks, your breads, your daily things delivered to you.
Yeah.
And why not? I mean, I'm still old enough to remember the milkman coming back. You know, I remember the grocery people coming.
Yeah.
So those things are actually coming back into vogue. And I think that there's a great need for that in our society. As you said, people don't want to do those routine purchases. I still think that we're going to be shopping at bricks and mortar, and within about a year, 18 months, we'll find this online space will find its own purpose, that people will begin to use it for what they find it meaningful mm-hmm. for, and they'll then use the physical retail as another form of experience.
Okay, Maurice Musilowski is our guest, a business futurist. Let's move away from the small changes, perhaps, that are happening to other, more, you know, other really fascinating changes. And these could change the way people shop. Online private shopping clubs, online buying groups, one-day, one-item-only shopping sales. I don't know whether it's an Australian bloke who's behind that, but it's become huge in the US at the moment. Let's start with the one-day, one-item-only shopping sales.
Absolutely. So these are online opportunities, and they've been around for about 2 years or so online in Australia for the last year or so, and they are taking off with a vengeance.
Right.
What they are is an opportunity for people to subscribe to a website, and there's a ton of them around, and you subscribe to it on the basis of not necessarily wanting to buy anything, but wanting to be informed about something when it becomes available. What happens is they aggregate what's called a community, so they bring together a group of people, and they then go to wholesalers and retailers and say, we have 100,000 people or 50,000 people or whatever it is that might be interested in your product.
Mm-hmm.
What deal will you do us? So they consummate a deal. Obviously, that deal is a good deal. You know, it's cheap, or it's something that can't be bought elsewhere. And they then advertise that to their community online. And the community can decide on a daily basis whether they want to buy that item or not. So every day they're getting an email about what's available.
And in fact, there's a discount or a voucher you get. You print out online, you go to the store. The person next to you may not know anything about this. You might buy the same item. You get it for maybe half the price that the person next to you gets.
Half the price. There's always a good reason to buy it. You know, it's cheaper, you get more of it, it's available in a way that's not available to anybody else. But there's always a reason to buy it, as you said, because the average person that's not aware of this sale isn't getting it like that.
With something like that, though, how big could it possibly be? Because if a department store is part of this and they say, all right, today only, TVs half price, or, you know, you get a 25% discount or something like that, they don't want a million people going in to buy it, do they? They want a limited number of people.
Now, with all of these opportunities, the wholesaler, the retailer, the person providing it, normally puts some asterisks next to it.
So the first 200 people or something?
Yeah, the first 200 or whatever number they nominate. They can also tell you not to come in on particular days if you're buying hotel rooms, for instance, which you can get online, or for travel. I saw a really good travel deal a couple of days ago for 5 nights at Koh Samui, which was literally a quarter of the price, and it was a very upmarket hotel.
Yep.
But there were some asterisks of dates you can't come and use that for. So the retailer will make that part of the deal, and it becomes obvious when you buy it, part of the terms and conditions, and not little six-point things actually are very obvious when you can and can't use this.
Okay, so how does this differ to online private shopping clubs?
Online private shopping clubs are really the next incarnation. They're the steroids. To me, that's really a marketing tool that says the previous one is something everyone can belong to. With private shopping clubs, you've got to ask permission to enter. It really is just another level of bureaucracy, so to speak. It just seems to be more exclusive. In reality, they're offering the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What you find with the private shopping clubs is, though, because you have to become a member, so to speak, and it's not particularly difficult to become a member,
right. They
tend to have better brands.
So you took...
So they tend to work with the bigger known names, and often it's in fashion.
Right. So you're getting... Sorry to interrupt, but is this something like Costco or Campbell's Cash and Carry where you have to buy in bulk, or is it this for other ordinary department stores?
Absolutely ordinary department stores, but not so much department stores. It's individual items, so you will find the brands that you're familiar with,
Yes. Especially
the upmarket retail ones, and they'll offer you, often it's the out-of-stock things, so, you know, things from last season or things they want to get rid of, that are still terrific items, still very valuable, but at a very much of a discount, and for them it's a great way to get rid of that stock.
So how do people find out about these things?
By listening to the show.
But I mean, I don't want to name names, but say a large department store has something like this. Do you have to contact them and say, do you have such, you know, a private shopping club, and then it's up to them to tell you whether they want you to know or not?
So most of these clubs are not run by the large retailer. They're actually run by a business or an individual. So what you need to do is just jump online and do a normal search.
So look for the sorts of things that you would like to buy and find out whether these clubs exist.
Yes, or just do a Google search for private online clubs or shopping clubs.
Okay.
If you want to, at my blog, there's a list of them as well. So there's all sorts of things. But if you do a Google search, you'll find them quite easily.
Okay. What about online buying groups? How do they differ?
So they work in the same sort of way. They work on a bulk basis, not that you have to buy bulk, but that the club agrees to buy bulk.
And so anyone can form a club?
That's actually a good point, because we are starting to see some where you can form a club.
Like neighbourhoods or things like that. Everyone in the street starts his club.
Now, that's just literally starting in the last couple of months. Previously, they were the other one, where you had to join a much larger club, and the club then went away and found the deals. I've actually seen some in the last couple of months where you can form a club, so you can join with Auntie Jo, you know, and do all of that, and together you can go into a retailer or a provider and say, look, there are a number of us. What are you going to do?
Okay.
So in many ways it's the old-fashioned thing where we used to club together with our family.
Yes.
To buy bulk or to buy a side of beef or whatever. Mm. These are the online versions of doing the same thing.
Okay, business futurist Morris Misalowski is our guest. What about, and I mentioned Costco or even Campbell's Cash and Carry, been here for a while, but people are always saying, oh, Costco, that's going to revolutionise retailing. But that's another thing where you actually have to join and you have to buy in bulk. Are we going to see more of them?
We're definitely going to see more Costcos. They're doing a rollout of them. What we're going to see, though, is a few more of the international brands coming into Australia. Again, because our dollar is at the right point and because, in many cases, they have saturated their European, American bases, they're looking for other places to come. So for the first time in the last year or so, we're seeing the big overseas retail brands looking at Australia quite seriously.
What sort of brands are we talking about here?
So we're going to see Zara. Zara's opening up literally as we speak in Australia. There's a store coming into Sydney and Melbourne and a few others rolling out. We're also going to see some of the other providers that we're talking about. So there's one, there's a great fashion label overseas, which is for predominantly female and around the 20 to 30 year old mark, that does fashion items, but in a very short runway. So that means that they'll only produce a number of items, and it's always heavy. It's always a recent fashion.
Let's move now to, well, not smoke and mirrors so much as phones and mirrors. Smartphones. This is certainly the way of the future for shopping. Either things will be sent directly to your phone or you'll be able to, you know, zap, you know, a barcode or a sign or whatever. And I know there's those other things like barcodes. I can't remember what they're called, but they're a little black and white design and you can get information from them. How is that going to change?
So what you're looking for there is a QR code.
Yeah, the QR code.
And it looks like a maze. You're right, it's black and white. It kind of looks like a maze. And you'll begin to see those more and more on Australian products and on promotional materials too. So we're really going to have a lot of fun with our smartphones. In Australia, we have 40% of all phones that we buy are smartphones, and that'll go up to about 60% in the next 18 months or so. So many of us carry these devices already in our pocket. And what we're going to do with these devices is to be able to interrogate or look at the areas that we're walking around. There, for instance, with your smartphone, remember all of these are opt-in. You've chosen to be a part of these, so it's not a matter of privacy of people coming to you if you're not interested. If you don't want to know, you won't know any of this. But with your smartphone, it'll be able to tell you the stores that you're walking past, so it'll actually announce it on the screen. It'll show you what's inside the store if you want. It'll also give you specials.
So if you've put into your smartphone, okay, you're interested in, you know, discount clothing or you want to buy some shirts or you were looking for a particular CD or whatever, then as you walk past it, somehow it'll zap your phone and it'll, you know, send you a message that what you're looking for is inside that store.
It will with time. At the moment, what we're doing is we're downloading specific apps. And an app is a little application we download onto our phone. And it might be a retailer's app, or more importantly, it might be one of the buying group apps that we spoke about before. So there are a whole lot of these apps around. And these apps know what you want because you've told them in advance. So when you've signed up, you've said the kind of areas that you're interested or involved in and the things you want to know about. Or if it's a particular retailer's app, again, you've given it some information about yourself and asked for specific things to happen. So both of those will trigger it off. Down the road, we're actually going to get far more sophisticated with it, where your phone will actually know the sorts of things you want to buy, the sorts of things you're interested in, and it will sort out that information for you and bring it back to you on your phone.
All by walking past the shop, you know, zapping the QR code.
All by walking past or about to walk past. So what we're talking around there is this a big word here called geotagging. And geotagging simply means that we're able to use our device to figure out where on the globe we're standing, so exactly what our coordinates are, and which way we're facing. So the phone works that out for you in a split second and then does a search around what's around you, what shops, or where you're about to head into. So it knows the direction you're heading. And it will give you some information about the shops ahead.
Now, there's something else as well, which is smart mirrors, really, we might want to call them, about making it easier to try clothes on, or indeed not try clothes on, but still find out what they look like on you.
Very interesting incarnation. They're often termed magic mirrors as well. And the magic mirror allows you to do a number of things. It's been around for a little while, but in the last 6 months to 8 months, we've seen some really good examples of it, and some retailers in the States begin to use it. So if you and I walked up to it, we would assume it's a mirror. It is, in fact, the camera behind us that we're looking at with a screen in front. So we see ourselves as we normally would in the mirror, But what we have is the ability to try on clothes without physically trying them on. Now, if you think about those games that we might play online, you know, where we move our hands around rather than have to use a mouse or something, mm-hmm, so we can use our hands to try things on, sweep it on, what you have in front of you in the mirror is a whole range of clothing. So these are pictures you're looking at, and you can literally use your hand to flick whichever clothes it is, so your dress, your pants or whatever, onto your body.
So anyone like me, you know, you're like going to buy a shirt or whatever, having to take all the pins out and the plastic off the collars and all that sort of stuff, and then you try it on, you don't like it, that poor bloke in the store has to put all those pins back, fold it up again, all that sort of stuff will be in the past, and you can just look in this magic mirror and see what the shirt looks like on you.
Absolutely. So what you'll do is you'll try on the shirt, but you'll also try it on in a virtual sense,
yes,
in the size that you think you are.
Yeah.
And the mirror actually represents how that garment looks on you at that size.
Extraordinary.
So you'll be able to see it's too big or too large or too long. You'll also be able to see it in 360 degrees. So you can spin around and you'll be able to see the back, the front, the side from the top or whichever angle you want. Now, it goes stranger than that too, and I can't tell you why people want to do this, but if you do, you'll be able to go into your social networks, your Facebook and those kinds of places, and actually send pictures of you trying on the garments to
your group. Think of this? People say, hey, it looks great.
Exactly. And you know, you'll then be able to try on as many clothes as you want. What we're talking about here is a really interesting incarnation of what retail might be, because when you start to use these magic mirrors, you actually need less stock, because you don't need to physically see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we might find larger, what are now considered to be large retailers, coming into very small spaces with limited stock that just uses the magic mirror, some people in the store, and some product that's available for you stored somewhere else. Or what the betting is now, that the store, that the stock in many cases will actually come to you a day or two later, but tailored specifically to your size and needs.
It is fascinating. Morris Misolowski is our guest, and the phone number is 1-300-800-222, 1-300-800-222. Maybe you've been astonished at some of the things that Morris has been saying. Maybe you've got some questions about the way we will be shopping in the future. Maybe you've just got some comment about the way things are going now, especially when it comes to online shopping. 1-300-800-222. You can text us as well, 1-99-22-702, 1-300-800-222. This is a chance to talk to someone who knows what the future looks like. We'll start with Gary, I think. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Gary.
Well, that conversation evolved pretty rapidly, actually. I was calling up to talk more about the, you know, the big players in the market when it comes to groceries and the smaller chains that are starting, but suddenly we're almost virtual reality.
That's right. That's the way it's moving, Gary.
Well, it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting to see. I'm curious to know where they get this information from, that they'll be able to predict what we're into and what we're interested in.
That's a good point. And Gary, thanks so much for that. Morris, how do you know these things?
Okay, great question, Gary. The answer is this. First of all, this is not TATS numbers, so there's no absolute certainty in this, but it's a strong prediction. I work on what I call an anthropological basis, which is that the human nature really hasn't changed since the day that you and I were put on Earth by however we got here. And it's a matter of understanding the sorts of things that you and I value and want to do and give